The Safari Park.
You're killing me, Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hats off to Larry.
Larry. Fucking Larry.
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 Larry. Larry, get into bed now.
Is there no sweeter sound than that of your own name buried in cheers and applause? I think not. Welcome, welcome to the Take No Shit Dojo, where truth lives, right here, at the crossroads of madness and enlightenment. The mission of this dojo is to reduce the amount of shit we take, and everywhere we turn, work, school, the mall, the supermarket, the road, the subway or bus, online and social media, and sometimes worst of all, at home, there's some asshole slinging shit at us. Seems like most of the incoming shit is at work, doesn't it? Once upon a time, the work deal was show up on time, do a good job, get paid on time, do a great job, get promotions and raises. Well, that was then. Now, these fucking morons are running corporations like Montessori schools. I have a longtime dojo member with a dilemma that faces just about anybody who works. I'll circle back to that in just a bit. But first, more than half of you are downloading this show via iTunes, which is okay. But that also means you're missing out on a ton of other fun stuff, like additional info and thoughts about each episode, including pictures and videos and comments from other listeners and so on. So, why not bookmark thatlarryshow.com and avail yourself of all those other goodies? While you're there, you'll find a big button on the right side that says Subscribe by Email. Click that, baby. Plug in an email address. Anyone will do, even the one you keep for porn, hate mail, and death threats. That way, you'll get a nudge each time a new episode is posted, and you won't miss a thing. At thatlarryshow.com, you'll also see a button a smidge lower on the right that says Support That Larry Show Patreon. Why not click that one, too, and join the dojo? Which unlocks the door to a wondrous chamber where much treasure is yours for the taking. Fantastic bonus episodes, including the Revenge Trilogy, where I and two co-conspirators drove one deserving son of a bitch to total madness. Or the episode where I was able to stop a home invasion. Here's a taste. Then I heard my baby daughter cry, and my wife on the phone, pleading with the cops to hurry. My entire world was in that bedroom, and they were terrified because of the scumbag on the other side of that door. And my anxiety turned to rage. I didn't give a goddamn if he was high or psychotic or just had the wrong house. If he comes through that door, I'm going to start shooting, and I won't stop until he's really still. Or bonus episode 7, Decoding Chick Speak. Who doesn't need help with that? Or bonus episode 10, How to Screw a Car Dealer. There's an ever-growing archive of bonus episodes available only to Patreonies. And the next episode of Sinner's Sunday, it's entitled Jesus Goes to Hell. Don't miss it. And that's just part of the fun. As a Patreon Dojo member, you get email access to me and the many senseis who make the TNS Dojo so damn formidable. We'll take on your toughest questions and give you workable solutions. We have guys here who are top-shelf attorneys, military men, cybersecurity experts, and so on. At certain Dojo belt levels, you get a signed copy of my best-selling book, Survival Gear for Your Career, which was featured on CNN, CNBC, and elsewhere. Discover the fun equipment and dirty tricks that help you win at your workplace. And speaking of books, we have a new one for Patreonies, one I've been teasing in the last few episodes. As I said, it's a book with a history. It's entitled Recycle This. And it was slated to be published by one of the country's biggest publishers, but they killed it at the last minute because they feared pushback from none other than former vice president and enviro-hustler extraordinaire, Al Full of Shit Gore. I've been sitting on this one, and now I'm ready to release it to you because I know you'll dig it. To be clear, I do care about our environment. It's the only one we've got. Oh yeah, Elon Musk thinks we'll be colonizing Mars any day now. Okay, but in the interim, millennium, we should probably do a better job caring for the planet we've currently inhabit. And I've got two kids. That's more than a vested interest. But the environment, as an issue, has been hijacked and politicized by douchebags and phonies and criminals. And in this book, I rake them over the coals mercilessly. Well, I can't take all the bows. I do get quite a bit of help from my pal, Johnny Glowskull, who is the voice of the book. Yes, it is interactive. And frequently, Johnny sounds off about whatever subject we're exploring together. You will love Johnny. He is pure. Take no shit. I'll post some samples and Johnny Glowskull excerpts at thatlarryshow.com and probably on Facebook as well.
But wait, there's more!
Whoa, how could I forget? Effective immediately, you can get me live, one-on-one, via online telephony. You have a problem? I'll help you kick its ass. There's only so much I can do via email or answer on the show, but with the miracle of digital tech, we can have that conversation and work on your problem together. Details will be at Patreon, and you can get the ball rolling by writing me at thatlarryshow@gmail.com. Now, let's see what our dojo member Dustin has to say about a corporate culture that's giving him a pain in the ass. Dustin says, "Hey Larry, big fan. Been listening every week since the dojo opened. I always figured if I'd send in a question, it would have to be about an issue I couldn't figure out on my own, as I'm a pretty self-sufficient dude. That day has finally come. I'm an operations manager with a lot of alone time where I'm at now, which suits me. But I don't make enough bread, so I'm switching into a great new apprenticeship gig. Problem is, the new company is very extroverted and involved. They hold team-building events, get-togethers, and even have a blog where they post about new hires for the world to see, none of which I'm going to be able to avoid. This sort of stuff really rubs me the wrong way, as I've always been a loner who values his privacy. I loathe mixing it up with coworkers on the clock or off it, as it's been my experience that shit like that leads to problems which could have otherwise been avoided. My belief is that work and pleasure are oil and water, and never ought the twain mix. I heard you tell another listener to put on a thin veneer of bullshit to deal with gossip, but that might not be enough here. My question is, how can I comfortably make this transition from obscurity to overexposure while still enjoying the new job? Thanks, Dustin." Dustin, you are not alone. In fact, if the volume of mail I get about this exact subject is any indication, this is a fucking epidemic in the workplace. First, where does this bullshit come from? Answer, morons.
"Oh, let's all play nice and get in each other's shit and post pictures of us at work and play, and how about taking a dump, too, and we'll link our Snapchat and Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and be just one big, happy, inclusive family."
And what about those who just want to get the job done and go home to their own families, How much you want to bet that these kumbaya assholes have no families of their own or anything better to do after quitting time than go home and feed their 19 cats? You know, I stuck a toe in this subject way, way back in episode 4, Larry Fires His Boss. If you've not heard it, have a listen. Go to thatlarryshow.com and click the January 2017 link. And behold the episode thumbnail. Me with long brown hair in a pencil skirt with a 45 stuck in the waistband. I gotta say, I look good there. Damn good. And in that episode, besides jettisoning the obnoxious drunken bitch that was making my work life a living hell, we kicked around some new labor laws they had just passed in France. Those laws basically say that when work is over, work is over, which is a damned good idea. Way, way too many employers seem to think that just because we all have cell phones and laptops and Wi-Fi, that entitles them to 24/7 access to us. If we're on a phone or a computer doing work-related stuff, we're at work, no matter where we are, and should be compensated. But in way too many cases, we're not. We're getting screwed. And besides impinging on our free time and squeezing free labor from us, so many goddamn companies want to shove their corporate culture down our throats or up our asses. Job performance isn't enough. They want groupthink. They want everybody in matching logo wear and ball caps and positioned like the people in that sick fucking movie a few years ago. Centipede. Except, how are you going to sing Kumbaya with your lips sutured to coworkers' assholes? Which makes me want to take a quick detour here, and that would be to the zone of conformity. I think that never before in history have people been so pigeonholed and pent up, hamstrung, and restricted by schools, government, and employers. We are less free than any generation ever before. Everyone is on an electronic leash, being watched and recorded by electronic eyes. Every second of your whereabouts can be logged and traced. Every Google search is noted. Every email scanned. Every purchase sucked into big data. And people think that because they have a tattoo or are openly gay or can legally buy weed, that they're free. Privacy? What's that? I gotta say, I really, really admire and envy the off-the-grid crowd. How many fucking times are you asked for your phone number at a grocery check stand? Which is okay when there's a quid pro quo, some discount as an incentive. But more and more retailers like Osh Hardware, which I'm beginning to loathe as much as Starbucks, they want you to opt into their database and you don't get a fucking thing out of it. Except their shitty marketing emails. Same for all social media platforms. If using it is free, then you are the product. All this shit really does make me yearn for the apocalypse. I swear, if I didn't have kids, I'd try to ignite World War III. It's the only fix. But back to Dustin and his new job, where they demand he sit cross-legged and link arms with his fellow team members and blow rah-rah smoke up each other's asses. Dustin, baby, I feel for you, I really do, because I've been there. But before I get to the main question, I want to excerpt something you said in your email that might be part of the problem. You said, quote, "My belief is that work and pleasure are oil and water, and never ought the twain mix." Absolutely correct, if your work is something you do only for the money. But if this is a real career, something you intend to make your life's work, you're going to die young and miserable. I've held those kind of jobs, Dustin, and you rationalize your day-to-day unhappiness by telling yourself what great coin you're making and what cool toys you're buying. But when a few years whip by and you look in your rear view, you're not going to like what you see. Even if that rear view is in a luxury new car paid for in full. That old bromide, if you like what you do, you'll never work a day in your life. It's absolutely true. The only condition under which you might violate that is if the unpleasant work has an end date and an enormous guaranteed payoff. Maybe some Wall Street job, or a mercenary, or jewel thief, or a long con for a very fat and preferably evil mark. But I'm going to assume this is not your life's work, just a short-term thing. And how do you minimize the pain of having to hang around a bunch of group-thinking, logo-wearing true believers? My suggestion to you is make it a game. Group thinkers are rarely bright, so why not see how much outrageous shit you can get them to buy into without them knowing you're silently mocking them? They want your picture in the company blog? Well, give them a fucking picture. One that has morphed you into a hybrid movie star with one of those apps. It will look like you, but not exactly like you. See if they have the balls to question it. And if they do, tell them your girlfriend or sister took that picture of you and it has sentimental value, and act offended, and then watch them back off. Pull the same stunt for your bio for their stupid fucking blog. Fill it with half-truths and exaggerations that cannot be disproved or even questioned. Something like, here's Dustin, our new VP of regional sales. While whitewater rafting in his teens, he rescued a drowning child, triggering his intense desire to help people because sales is helping people. Always an avid linguist, Dustin has studied Gaelic, Santali, and is now tackling the click talk of the sand bushmen of the Kalahari. In his rare downtime, Dustin likes to curl up with the New England Journal of Medicine or binge-watch episodes of Duck Dynasty. Now, if they question this bio, pout like a chick who wasn't invited to the junior prom. If they're as hardcore kumbaya as they seem, they'll apologize and post it as is. Then you can have all your pals check it out and laugh until they puke. They want team-building exercises? Well, suggest a few of your own. Everybody wants a paperless office, right? Tell them to wipe their asses with their tablets. No, just kidding. Suggest an award to incentivize reduced consumption of toilet paper and maybe install a bidet with the savings. How about mandatory place cards in the cafeteria to discourage cliques and force everyone to be more inclusive? Keep these stupid fucks guessing and chasing their tails and not knowing whether you're the answer to their prayers or somebody that will one day mow them down with a bump-stocked AR-15. If you're really, really clever about it, they won't catch wise, and you'll have the fucking time of your life zooming them. Of course, I have no idea how you're going to suppress your laughter. You'll have to figure that out on your own. The point is to get with their program as you fuck with their program. I've deployed that strategy in schools and corporations and had a goddamn riotous good time doing it. If that seems too risky or too much trouble, then you are going to have to just spew low-grade bullshit, smile a lot, and nod enthusiastically at whatever they say. Or you can find a vocation you really enjoy, so much so that coworkers and idiotic corporate culture become moot. Good luck, Dustin. Let me know how things work out for you. Now, somebody recently flagged me on social media with another question perfect for the dojo. Essentially, he was asking how much shit should be tolerated, not from strangers or coworkers, but from your friends. Which begs the question, what kind of friends give friends shit? The mission of this show is to reduce shit-taking, not eliminate it. Barring death or emperorship, we're all occasionally going to put up with some shit, even from friends. The key is discerning motivation. Nobody's perfect. When your friend gives you shit, is it malicious or accidental? How often does it happen? How egregious is the slight or insult? None of us likes to be alone, and some of us cut too much slack to substandard friends just because we don't want to be alone. That's a pretty good litmus test right there. If you're putting up with shitty friends as a hedge against loneliness, that's a cue to maybe find a new friend. Here's another good one. Some friends are there to commiserate with you when you've suffered a loss, and that's cool. But if that same friend is never around to help you celebrate a victory, that's a big red flag. I had a friend like that for years, operative word being had. It took me a long time to wise up to the fact that this guy really wasn't much of a friend at all. He actually resented my successes. But he was there for my losses because he secretly enjoyed them. I'll be doing an episode more in-depth on friendship pretty soon. Thanks for hanging with me once again, everyone. It's always great to be with you. We've got a load of fantastic stuff as we close out this month. The digital book, a bonus episode, and one-on-one live consultations. So swing by thatlarryshow.com and join that dojo. And I'll see you this Sunday for Jesus Goes to Hell. Only on Patreon. Until that time, take no care.